Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and stir. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this very crazy old lady for yet another round of drinks on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, dun, 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 what's woo, dun, 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 and what gets flushed down the loo in a world where we ask, how many genders exist? Oh, huzzah, we're back down to two. Thank the Lord we overcame that nonsense and all that hullabaloo. Will Tom Homan arrest Governors Kotek and Hobbs? I think that he will, and I hope that he does, because those girls are such globalist snobs. And how nice to see the army at our border. That's the federal government's job, isn't it? To provide national law and order. But the question that tickles our mind palaces daily, when will we get the disclosure on all things Israeli? Ooh, oh my God, people, what is going on in the world today? Welcome back, Martini Heads, and a warning from my voice coach that when I get excited, my voice goes very high, so I'm going to go back to my beautiful lyrical mezzo voice. Welcome back, Martini Heads, and a very warm welcome to those joining us for the very first time. Be advised, you newbies, you brave souls, this show is politically incorrect. Your host, that's me, is off the Richter scale libertarian type of person who voted for Trump because that's where the action is. And America, my darlings, it has a very, very sacred purpose, you see. That's why I'm here. That's why we all chose to incarnate at this time. And that sacred purpose for America is to lead the world away from Luciferian globalist domination and into the new golden age of peace and prosperity. The term the new golden age of peace and prosperity is not something that Trump came up with. This is something shamans have been talking about for thousands of years, long before anybody in the Western, European side of what is the world now to us realized that there was a landmass called America. It has always had this sacred purpose. Now, this whole moving away from the globalist domination, Luciferian pedo-weedos and all that lot, I think it's going to be very difficult very shortly to deny that that is what is behind this larger agenda. And I am amazed by how many people have a problem with that agenda being exposed. Why wouldn't you want to end perpetual war? Why would you vote against arresting and deporting violent criminals? Why would you vote against the campaign to end human trafficking? And why wouldn't you want to have safer streets and safer cities? And how about a police force unshackled by radical globalist policies? Well, obviously we know the answer. We've all been propagandized at some point in our lives to some extent or another, but some of us have made an attempt to research all sides of a story. Because I don't want to be the kind of person who believes mainstream media. And in particular, I don't want to be the one kind of person that has this one channel and one publication that says everything that I need to hear, because that is the echo chamber effect, the proverbial Plato's cave on all sides. You know, all sides. We need all sides. We need people of all persuasions to come together and listen to each other's point of view. And it's obvious. I mean, it's natural. We feel comfortable hanging out with those who share our views. Of course, we do. But really, we cannot allow ourselves the luxury of stewing in our own juices anymore. It is time for mankind to grow up, to take off the diapers and try to talk in full sentences. You know, in time, all of this stewing in our own juices and listening to one channel and reading one publication and only meeting friends who only think the way that we do, it really becomes incestuous. And darlings, ugh, incestuous, ugh, super icky, ugh. Now, I'm not saying don't hang out with your own peeps. You need that. I enjoy the time I have with my private Telegram group, Ani Mad Shaman Avedisian Chat. We're a diverse group of lunatics, truly we are. We don't all agree on everything, but one thing we do all agree on, we are spirit-centered patriots. We love our country, the USA. We love Mother Earth. And we all believe in some aspect of supreme cosmic intelligence, God for short. We also understand what Trump is doing, and we support him 100%. And we also have members, you know, from the UK and Ireland, two countries hit very hard by the globalist agenda to destroy national and personal sovereignty. Oh my God, what's going on out there? Oh, you know, we don't get to talk much to them because of the time difference, but we do value your presence, my darlings, and we are fighting the same evil all over the globe. So we need to stick together. If you are somebody who enjoys this podcast and you want to hang out with some like-minded peeps, send me a personal email, because this is a private group. We don't like trolls and we don't like wankers. And you will have to have a little short Zoom interview with me so I can check out your aura and make sure that you're decent people. Anyway, drop me an email, arnie@arnieavedisian.com, if you want to be part of this growing family of people who want to bring common sense back to the world. My darlings, what should we talk about today? I think we'll start with quack, questions, answers, and comments. That's always the meat of our show, jackfruit, if you're a vegetarian. And then we'll have a short, silly poem. We'll squeeze in some awesome American civics and history. And then I guess we'll end, as we always do, with a cocktail of the day, which I have not yet sipped. What is wrong with me? Let me take care of that right away. Hang on, darlings. Don't go away. Sipping is happening. Hmm. Oh, wow. When I saw the recipe for this, I thought, no way this is a classic. No one's going to drink this. But I am surprised. The flavors are sort of dancing upon my tongue, and there's a lovely little aroma, and it's warmer and richer than I thought. I could be falling in love. I don't know. It's unusual, but it's All right. We'll talk about it towards the end of the show, and I will, of course, pace myself. I always try to pace myself so that I don't get too tiddly. But, you know, after all, what can I do? This is the show where top shelf distilled spirits blend with the Holy Spirit. Huzzah! And never has there been a more divine combination, in my opinion. Oh, moving on. But damn, that's a good twist on a classic. I might have that again. Let's get on with the show. And let's go to quack. Let's get on with the show, because I'm rambling. If you would like to share your thoughts with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, because nobody else will read them, arnie@arnieavedisian.com, or via snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, USA. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as Omit Personal Details. All righty then, let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, 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 shaky. I broke my kazoo and I haven't got a new one yet, so I can't kazoo you today, people. But next show we'll have the kazoo. You know, darlings, I should mention that something rather, not odd, but yeah, something rather odd happened this week. A significant portion of your questions focused on dark magic and paranormally things. I mean, not just a few, but about 60%. And what does that mean? Are people waking up to the unspeakable evil behind one world government? I do hope so. I really do hope so. I often receive emails about paranormal activity, because after all, I'm a paranormal activity specialist. But I've never had this many questions on dark magic. Perhaps people are cottoning on a bit, hey? Let's take this first one. And this is from Lacey in Tenek, New Jersey. And Lacey writes, my younger sister decided to have her friends over for a pajama party. And she says, I'll cut to the chase. One of them bought a Ouija board. Oh, God. Oh, the Ouija board. And I guess they spent most of the night playing with it. The following morning, our furnace went out. The garage door refused to close. And there was a power surge in the kitchen, and all before 9 a.m. Could this be related to the spirits or whatever they summoned? And if so, how do I get rid of it? She says, I don't feel that our home is haunted, and this could be imagination. But we all seem to lose things much more often than we used to. Aha! Lacey, I will put this in a giant box of letters that I have, all to do with this Ouija board. It certainly could be part of the, you know, the Ouija board experience. I am against them because you're dealing with energies you have no knowledge of. That's number one. It is akin to surfing the internet without antivirusware and without anti-malware software. That's how serious it is. It's not a game. Most of the entities that come through the Ouija board, they're lower level tricksters. And I think they can best be described as annoying imp-like creatures with, well, they outdate mankind, by the way, and they can therefore quite often read our minds. They have watched mankind evolve. And they can trick you into believing you're really talking to your deceased Auntie Ethel or your deceased Uncle Bob. Now, of course, it is perfectly possible to speak with your deceased people, but I advise going through a reputable medium, not a Ouija board. And as for losing things, tricksters love moving your stuff around, and sometimes they can take it away with them, and you will never see it again, not on this realm. Now, you're asking me, how would I take care of this? The easiest thing is if you have somebody like me in your neck of the woods, call them and they will take care of it for you. But you can also take care of it yourself. After all, if the tricksters were in physical form, what would you do? You'd throw them out, right? If you could see them, if they had physical bodies. So we do the same with the non-physical. Except, you know, you invited them in, or your sister invited them in, so it's a little bit more difficult. They're a little belligerent when they feel they've been invited, and then you want to throw them out. But here, look, try the following. Open some windows in your home and get a good airflow going. Cut a few yellow onions, just cheap yellow onions, in halves or quarters, and place a couple of pieces in each room, more pieces if it's a large room or a large area. And don't forget the garage and the outside deck area. So put those all over the place. And then just sit for a while and just take a few deep breaths. Ground yourself with deep breath. Make sure you're properly hydrated. And now, don't laugh about what I'm going to say. Get yourself a wooden spoon and a pot from the kitchen and go into every area of your property and make a lot of noise. Ugly noise. Bam, 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 bam. And you can shout while you do it. Woo, woo, whatever you want. You want to shake things up. Let the tricksters know you're in charge. This is your home and you have dominion here. And what that does, it literally moves the energy up and out. And it's very disturbing to people. So do all that and then let it settle down. And believe me, once you bang that pot for a few minutes, your head will buzz. So let that settle down. And once it feels calmer, stand in whatever you consider to be the spiritual center of your property, the still point. And for 9 breaths at a time, do this. Imagine a beautiful golden rain washing your property clean. Really imagine it. Really feel it. 9 breaths. Now for 9 breaths, imagine you feel a refreshing cool breeze flow through your property. Really get into that visualization, because intention is everything. Feel the breeze. You might even smell the petrichor, you know, that wonderful smell that you smell after it's rained. So do that for 9 breaths. And then last segment for this, imagine for 9 breaths, brilliant rays of golden sunlight pouring onto your property, illuminating the area with divine love. If you like ritual as much as I do, you know, you can close your little ceremony by going through the property with your favorite incense or other aromatic resin. And if you're allergic to incense, you can use essential oil sprays. And if you don't like those, you can use Lysol spray, whatever floats your boat. The reason we do the incense and the spray, it's more along the lines of, it's a lovely touch, in addition to being a spiritual fumigant, and the high quality ones are, it's a lovely way to seal the heal. And there's that vision, of course, of the smoke, of sending our thanks to the divine through the smoke. And once you're done, give thanks and get on with your day. And, you know, you can leave the onions there for 3 or 4 hours and then just wrap them up and toss them outside the house. You just get on with your day. But I can't stress this enough, okay? The incense, the pop banging, the visualizations, they mean nothing if they are just unsupported mechanical actions. It is the intention behind the action that gets results. It's your home. It's your prerogative to claim dominion over your property. So when you do these things and you call in the name of the divine, don't doubt it and don't think that you're calling in an energy from outside. God is not outside you. You're not, you know, God isn't even in you. You are in God. Use that as a shift of perception. That really helps. So let me know how it goes. If things get worse, then you have more than just trickster energy and you will need advice from an experienced metaphysician. If you don't have one in your area, let me know and we'll see what we can do. But I get the impression it's just some trickster stuff and that should resolve. Moving on, let's take another question. And this is from Lars in Baltimore, who asks, when you talk about the Luciferian agenda, do you mean the actual devil? There is no devil. I refer to Lucifer, the fallen archangel who became a mad scientist once he had genetic material to experiment with. You know, I've told that story many times. It's a story we tell, another of our cultural hallucinations to describe the diminishment of rational mind and the rise of the false alter ego. You know, how we divine beings devolved through fear tactics into malleable blobs of flesh, believing in a psychotic god and stuffing our faces with donuts as glazed as the expressions on our faces. So Lucifer turned his back on Creator and refused to co-create. He went his own way and experimented with sentient beings, or so the story goes. And in the course of these experiments, he created a hitherto unknown vibration, terror. Terror, because a man's head and upper torso do not belong on the arse of a horse. I'm thinking centaurs here. He messed with this thing we call universal harmony. And since that time, mankind has not been able to understand that there is no separation between man and this force that we currently, in our very immature, childish way, simply call God. There is no hell presided over by a devil that takes in those rejected by heaven and tortures them for eternity. Because the real God is not psychotic as presented in scripture. creation's vibration could never create such a realm. There are darker realms created for beings who repeatedly thrust themselves into multiple physical incarnations and used all of those lifetimes to plunder and cause great pain to others. The Schwabs of the world, the Faucis of the world, the Bill Gates of hell of the world. And there are quite a few of those, but they really are holding cells, waiting for the 26,000 year rotation when the creator, which is source, not the God of the universe, takes these souls, wipes their memories clean, and they're allowed to start life once again, but not as humans or any other evolving sentient race. Oh no, because they effed up bigly. No. All of those memories are wiped away. No. Say hello to your earthworms in your garden and to various aspects of the insect world. Some of them literally are just hive mind insects, but the energies of the sociopath murdering scum have been wiped clean, and they're allowed to start life again on the first dimension. The universe likes to keep itself as clean as possible, so it has a FAFO policy with those who have lived a truly evil life. But note the way it is dealt with. Tainted souls are held in density, in a sort of stasis, given a chance to review their actions and find redemption. But if they fail at it, they are simply erased. Because if they came into awareness of their actions once stripped of their sociopath cloaks, they would not be able to deal with their actions and the harm it caused others. And I say, that's jolly gracious of Creator. We should all aspire to be that sensible. Thanks, Lars. Thanks for writing in. What else came in? What else came in? Oh, here's an actual letter, as in, you know, with a stamp in an envelope. And this is from Joni in Santa Cruz, California. California, hang in there. I'm sure we'll be getting rid of Newscombe very, very, very shortly. Dearest Arnie, are vampires real? And if so, where do they come from? And do they really drink blood? And are they frightened off by something as mundane as garlic? Joni wrote a few other things, but this is the question that she wants addressed on today's show. Joni from Santa Cruz, California. It depends on your definition of vampire. There are many beings, lower realm beings, that resemble the proverbial Hollywood movie vampire. I know of a few races, some of whom have visited and made a home on planet Earth, who have finely tuned olfactory senses and are mightily allergic to things like garlic and other robust odors. And I have been told of a race which broke out in hives from being in contact with garlic, an ancient human race, or not a human race, a race that came to make a home here. I have stories. I have many, many stories. I sound like Trump. I have stories. You're going to get tired of listening to my stories. So I don't doubt that there's a great deal of truth in some of that old folklore. As for drinking blood, as unpleasant as it sounds, living blood has a magical quality to it. Of course it does. I mean, after all, if you drain a human of its blood, it dies, right? But there is, how can I put this without sounding like a total idiot? Oh, give it up. Everyone thinks you're an idiot anyway. There is cosmic coding in our blood that our current diagnostic tools, marvelous as they are, cannot register, let alone decode. Now, the Luciferians drink blood to swear allegiance to their overlord. It is the blood of young children, by the way. All the children trafficked by the globalists, the one Tom Homan and his Save the Humans homie squad are rescuing and taking to recovery centers as we speak. Don't you dare say anything about illegal immigration. You invade this country illegally, you're already a criminal. And then if you commit criminal acts, you know, we're not going to take this anymore. And most of it is all to do with safety. That's it. So bear that in mind when you think about blood magic. And blood magic is used in the highest rituals. When one takes a blood oath, One has sworn allegiance unto death, and if you break that oath, your blood will be spilled and used for another type of ritual, along with chunks of meat from certain parts of your body, to make sure that, in their mind, you never, ever have a chance to go back to what we call heaven and experience Creator's grace. Doesn't that sound like fun? Come forward, people, and blow the whistle. It's much better for you. I mean, we look at the UK right now, and the Pakistani Muslim grooming and raping gangs, completely covered up by the Crown, the judiciary, Parliament, the police, the media. And all who covered it up were given money and told you will get more money as long as you keep quiet. But blood magic was used. You think people just give you millions of dollars just to keep a secret? These politicians and the like were all forced to have penetrative sex with young children, some of whom were then ritually murdered and drained of blood, which the new initiate has to drink, and fingers are cut off and the new initiate has to chew on it after having sex with the child that was alive, thank God, while they were having sex with it, although I'm sure the child would have preferred to have been dead. And then they do all of these rituals. What are you talking about, Ani? Have you seen this done? For now, I will take the fifth. But I know that this is what happens in those rituals. Have I done it? No! Good Lord, no. I'm queasy. Look, people, this is the evil we're fighting today. And the first step is to expel unvetted, uninvited invaders. To all the naive nincompoops out there, please grow up. This isn't about Consuelo and her taco cart, or, you know, Ahmed and his kebab shop. Although, you know, if they've been here for years, why didn't they seek legal status? They're both criminals now because they entered a sovereign nation without using the front door. There is no other way to see this. Human trafficking must be stopped and those responsible must be obliterated. We must deprive the globalists of their much needed supplies, which is basically blood to drink and children to fuck. These are your modern day vampire wannabes, Joni, and their time has come. This land returns to godliness, and we shall never go back to the old ways. Some of those old ways include religion, by the way. I know everyone's taking Lord Jesus Christ in their name and whatever right now, and maybe that's what needs to happen to balance everything, but it really is all about God and not actually the prophets. What else came in today? Thanks for that, Joni. What else came in today? Ah, I think this one just came in this morning. Yeah, this is from Leandra, who says, I have been approached by a Wiccan group. Should I join? Let me have a sip of my drink, Leandra. That was nice. Darling, I don't know how to comment. I have no idea. I don't know anything about this group. Were you approached out of the blue? Were you walking down the street one day and strange people came up to you and said, hey, baby, want to do some Wiccan stuff? Shall we get down and funky with the Lord and the Lady and the Elves and the Shady? If that's the case, common sense dictates that you decline that particular offer. They're probably recruiting for their local suburban sexy swingers club, and you do not want to get involved with that sort of thing, especially not today. Not with all the sexual trafficking going on. I mean, you could be there innocently having an orgy with your lovely neighbors for no good reason other than you want to have an orgy, and if ICE show up and your picture's all over the papers. Wouldn't that be terrible? Back to the Wiccan thing. Do you know these people? I mean, if you know these people, they approached you because they thought you would be a good fit, or because they don't have enough people to make a circle. Could go either way on that one, I suppose. Without more information, I have no further meaningful input, but I will leave you with this. This might help. Joining a coven is a very serious commitment. Rituals need a certain number of people to complete the ceremony. And the time spent bonding with your sisters, maybe brothers too, adds greatly to the efficacy of the spell crafting. So this is not a women's knitting circle. This is not something to be taken lightly. I suggest you research thoroughly you know, before you make a commitment, to be sure that you understand also the hierarchy of that particular coven. There are many types of covens all over the world. And in my experience, I'm not a Wiccan, I'm just a student of comparative religion. In my experience, no two are identical. And my final word of warning, if a coven tells you they are sky-clad, it means they perform their rituals naked. So good luck out there, Leandra, and give the Green Man my regards. All righty. Do we have another? Yes, we do. This is from Ross. And Ross says, do you think it is possible to reanimate a somewhat decayed corpse using only the power of your mind and then make it dance? You know, from time to time, my darlings, I do wonder about the sanity of some of you martini heads out there. I wonder if you should check, you know, or keep in check the amount of martinis that you are imbibing. Ross, my darling, well, honestly, I don't see why not. I mean, the mind is part of the universal mind and therefore unlimited. And for such a mind, a divine unlimited mind, reanimating a somewhat decayed corpse and making it dance would be a doddle. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I have no idea why one would want to do such a thing. If it's not the martinis, darling, you might consider asking your local dispensary to find you a less potent strain of whatever bud you are currently enjoying. I may be biased. Let me have a sip of my drink. That's rather nice. I may be biased, given my background. But when people start having visions of dead decomposing flesh dancing, my Darth Vader radar starts to beep. And right now it's going beep, beep, beep. We do have one more email here. By the way, Ross, I'm going to be watching out for your name in your local paper, okay? I've got my eye on you, sunshine. One more email here in the fishbowl, and it's from Butcher, B-A-T-I-A, in Carson City. And Butcher asks, is it possible to curse someone or to have someone put a curse on you? I put a curse on you. We need to define the term curse. If you are asking me, can someone perform an invocation accompanied by some strange interpretive dancing with smoke bombs and incense, and by doing this and saying certain words can make life a living hell for someone else, and do all this without their knowledge? My answer is, strange but true, yes. But there's a but to it, okay? And it's a rather large but. There exists today only a handful of people who can pull this off. And they're either in hiding or working in a bunker somewhere for establishment dark ops. For the rest of us mere mortals, someone cursing us is nothing more than some ego-driven Nimrod throwing a bunch of angry words at us. Let's do away with all this superstitious nonsense. A self-realized person cannot be touched by a curse, not even a focused one from the guys in bunkers. You have to really believe it. And by believing it, you're the one that makes it real. But if you think with your rational mind, of course no one can put a curse on you. No one that you have any business hanging out with, that is. Oh, and there is one more. So let's clear out the bowl for today. And this is from Omit Personal Details. And Omit Personal Details says, Arnie, what if Trump is the Antichrist? What will you do then? I will make myself a very large Manhattan, because that's my favorite cocktail, really. That or an old-fashioned, it's a toss-up. I'll take a nice hot bath, I'll make myself a Manhattan or an old-fashioned, and I'll say to myself, well, if that's the case, I guess we're all left. But you know what? Even if he was, we would still have more freedom and a better standard of living than the other lot has planned for us. You know, it's not that I live in an echo chamber. I force myself to, you know, listen to everybody's point of view. And I often sit down and I ask myself, Ani, you're a counselor and you do podcasts and you make videos and you do public speaking. Are you sure you're not just in love with the sound of your own voice? Have you been giving advice to people for so long that you have forgotten whether it's you giving the advice or the Holy Spirit giving the advice? I do this with myself regularly because I too tend to get a little overexcited, and especially when I've had a drinky poo. But let me tell you this. I know this man's soul contract, DJT. I know his soul contract. He is not the Antichrist. He was activated to prevent the evil, not to enhance it. You know, this plan we have all been asked to trust the plan. It is meticulous. Not even I had any idea how meticulous it was. But once you start looking into the cue drops, and I'm no Anon, but once you start looking into them and really studying them, only then do you begin to realize the genius of the white hats, their genius and their tenacity and their commitment to stay for the long haul. Because this started, not Q, but this started back in the 60s, the whole white hat plan to overthrow globalism. So back to the Q drops. My partner is actually studying it on Badlands Media on Rumble, a very good channel, actually, second only to Cosmic Reality Radio, by the way. And she is absolutely in awe. I mean, you know, every part of what is happening today was somehow foretold in the drops as far back as 2017. So how the heck does that happen, by the way? How the heck do we really have a proper, focused, accurate premonition of the future? I'm a remote viewer. I'm an intuitive. I look at the future and there are multiple parallel things that could happen. How could Q be so accurate? Ah, did I ever mention Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump? Brilliant MIT scientist, chap who worked on X-ray refinement and I think did a lot of research in World War II on radar. And guess who the Secret Service asked to look at Nikola Tesla's notes after that poor, brilliant chap died? Yes, all those notes on time travel. Yes, time travel. You guessed it, John Trump, DJT's paternal uncle. Now, come on, explain to me how something predicted years ago happens exactly as and when predicted. I think you have to ponder on time travel for that one. And what are the chances that the nephew of the man who studied those papers years later turns out to be the one who stands up against the establishment, looks it in the eye and tells it, I'm coming for you. You're going down. And going down they are, but not until they use every last toy in their cornucopia of chaos. That's okay. Let them. We can't stop them. We had to take the long and winding path. Okay. But if we hadn't done that, the casualties would be unmanageable. And the army, and remember, military is the only way. If you're a Q dropper, military is the only way. The army would not have been able to manage the civil war had we had a coup in 2020. 2025 is going to be a year we will never forget. And I think that's where we will leave Quack for today's show. Many thanks to the Martini Heads for writing in. Quack is the main reason we started this show, to share thoughts with we the people, to bounce ideas around and just be there for anyone who feels alone and surrounded by folks who do not share their values or their views. And now, my darlings, it is time for a little pat of poetry. With great thanks to all the Martini Heads who wrote in to Quack, God bless you all. But let's move on and have a little bit of fun now. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky poo, and writing really bad but occasionally brilliant non-peer-reviewed poetry. And as you will shortly discover, my poems have no peer. Here we go. This one I wrote this morning. I tend to get up quite early in the morning because I have clients who are 12 hours ahead, and there's always like half an hour or something in between appointments, and I get myself a little Turkish coffee and I sit down. I go, well, I could meditate again, but I just did, so let me write a poem. So I write about two or three poems a day. Most are not bad. Some are amazing. I think this is pretty decent. It's called, well, it started out being called The Magic Bong, but I don't really have that much experience with bongs, so I'm now call it The Magic Box. Here we go. An original by Ani Avedisian. In a dusty old corner of an ancient bazaar, under old carpets and parts from old cars, there's a small leather box with some Ottoman script that has faded quite badly and is hard to decrypt. The edges are worn and the box has been dropped, and many attempts have been made on the locks. And those locks are the strangest in all of creation. They must have come from a demon's imagination. Men wise and foolish have tried to gain entry. From peasants to gentry, it was not elementary. And now the Grand Vizier, he too was baffled, and he was wise, clever, and well-travelled. For years it sat in the Sultan's private apartments, a test for royal guests, a form of intellectual entertainment. The years come and go, some fast and some slow, but none have succeeded in breaking the status quo. What secrets exist that must be kept so well hidden? How does such a treasure end up in the city's midden? Perhaps, when the time is right, it will simply pop open. And then the shit will hit the fan from Harare to Hoboken. Ha ha! An original, wonderful work, pure genius, as always, from yours truly, Ani Madsharman Avedisian. Most of the poems, my mother is so proud of me, most of the poems I read on the show are works in progress, mostly completed, but not refined and not yet hard copy edited. I just share my thoughts as they come up, and, you know, there might be something useful or even mildly entertaining there, but who knows, you know. And now, my darlings, it is time to move on to the next segment of our show, a segment I didn't think we would have time for today, but we do, so let's do it. Let's visit American civics and history. Awesome American civics and history. So, my fellow Americans, you may have noticed that we're in the midst of a massive battle of light versus dark. And while that is a spiritual issue, primarily, our spirits inhabit physical forms. This means that the New Age way of looking at things, for example, if we deny that evil exists, it will go away, is one of the stupidest statements I have ever heard in my life. As a former perceptual engineer, I would take that mentality and have a field day with it. So, they deny the existence of evil? Good. Let's inject it into everything. They won't notice because they've denied it. This is what's happened to our great nation. Today, in the hope that my fellow Americans will revisit the events that led to the need for the birth of our great nation, I would like to discuss what is a constitution. And I am giving thanks for my trusty little school, We the People, the Citizen, and the Constitution. Lovely little textbook. Not easy, is it these days, my darlings, to find civics textbooks? I think they're burning them or something. So do me a favor, all you martini heads out there. I have a passion for secondhand bookshops. I just love to spend half my life in them. If you go to places like that and you find, not for adults, but for children, civics books for elementary school, for high school, please pick them up. and read them. And if you don't want to keep them, give me a call. Let me know what you've got. I'll probably buy them from you because I'm hoarding them. So what is a constitution? Let's get back and let's talk about this from a schoolgirl, schoolboy point of view. A constitution is a legal framework for government. A constitution tells how a government is organized and run. Every nation has a constitution, kind of, sort of, not necessarily all in one place, but you know, both good and bad governments have constitutions. Most constitutions are in writing. The United States and Russia are two examples of countries with written constitutions. Some constitutions contain both written and unwritten parts. The British Constitution is the best known example of this kind of constitution because it is based on both written laws and unwritten customs. Oh, that makes things so complicated, doesn't it? It also is possible to have a constitution that is not in writing at all. Many societies in history had constitutions based on unwritten customs and traditions. And you can learn about a government and its citizens by studying a nation's constitution. So here are some of the questions a constitution is designed to answer. One, what are the purposes of government? What is the organization of government? What parts does it have? What does each part do? How is government supposed to go about doing its business? For example, how does the government make its laws? And how are people selected to serve in government? And then we have to ask ourselves, who is a citizen? Are citizens supposed to have control over their government? Yes. If so, how is this control supposed to work? And what rights and responsibilities, if any, are the citizens supposed to have? Okay, so now we've discussed what is a constitution. Let's move on to what is a constitutional government. Having a constitution does not mean that a nation has a constitutional government. A constitutional government means that there are limits on the powers of the person or group running the government. The word limits, as used here, means things that government may not do or actions that it may not take. Our constitution limits the power of government. The limits are written into the constitution. For example, the courts cannot force a person to be a witness against himself. The courts cannot deny the accused the right to an attorney. In some nations, the power of government is not limited. It is possible for the constitution of a nation to provide for the unlimited use of power. In other cases, the constitution of a nation might say that the power of government should be limited, but it might neglect to say how those limits might be enforced. One remembers the old Soviet Union, I'm sure, where when the socialists took over, they said, "This is a government for the people. We have a constitution. You must come forward and you must tell us all of your grievances." And people did. Oh, socialism, how wonderful, a government for the people. Here's all my grievances. And they all ended up on boxcars in very cold places in Siberia. Now, suppose the constitution of a nation does not limit the powers of its government. On the other hand, suppose it limits the power, but those limits are not enforced. In either case, the government is not a constitutional government. We call a government of unlimited power an autocratic or dictatorial government. Okay, now let's talk about higher law. And remember, people, we are doing this, this textbook is for like a 14 to 15 year old, okay? What is higher law? In a constitutional government, the constitution must effectively limit the use of power. The constitution is a higher law. A higher law is a set of laws that establish and limit the power of government. all the people, including the government leaders, must obey the higher law of the land. The people running the government must do what the Constitution says. The Constitution describes the ways to ensure that people in government obey the limits on their power. So, in a constitutional government, the Constitution has the following five important characteristics. It lists the basic rights of citizens to life, liberty, and property. It establishes the responsibility of government to protect those rights. It places limits on how the people in government may use their powers. Some examples, citizens' rights. People in the government cannot unfairly deprive a person of the right to freedom of speech, although they bloody well tried. Or how resources are distributed. People in government cannot take a person's property without paying the person at a fair price for it. No, this last government used direct energy weapons, didn't they, to take people's property away from them. And also how conflicts are handled. People in government must give all persons accused of a crime a fair trial. So those are the examples of, limits on how the people in government may use their powers. The fourth important characteristic is that it establishes the principle of a private domain. A private domain is that part of a person's life that is not the business of government. And that is pretty much most of your private life. In fact, it's all of your private life. The government has no business in your private life. And the fifth important characteristic, it can only be changed with the widespread consent of citizens and according to certain set procedures. Now, changes in the Constitution, amendments, these things have been made. Can we make more amendments? Yes, of course we can. It is a very complicated, long, and tedious process. And herein ends the end of Awesome American and Civics for today. My darlings, I'm going to just say to you, please be chill. Now, I know most of you who are, who listen to the show, you're very much red-pilled. But one of the people in my Telegram group the other day, we call her Teresa the Wise Woman because she's, wise and her name's Teresa. She said, you can't assume that all the MAGA people and all the America First people are all red-pilled. They're not. Because, you can tell the ones that are being gracious and the ones that are being mean-spirited. She said, no, they're pink-pilled. I like that a lot. They're pink-pilled. So I'm reaching out to all the pink-pilled people who just are delighted that the Republicans have beat the Democrats. That is not really what's happening here. And I really urge you to step back from your petty partisan affiliations and understand what battle it is that we are fighting. In the war, this is the final battle. This is where we take down the deep state. This is where we kill them and we burn their bodies. And we ritually do a ceremony and say they are never coming back again. Many, many big things are happening with white shamans behind the scenes. Please understand, you probably won't have a two-party system within two decades. It's time we all get together now and remember America's sacred purpose. We are all Americans. White, black, pink, green, yellow, red, whatever nation, whatever race, if your philosophy of life is congruent with our Constitution, fantastic. You'll make an American citizen. You'll be so proud to be an American citizen. If any part of your faith or philosophy of life goes against the Constitution, you're not ready to take on the mantle of being an American. Wow, was that heavy? I'm so sorry. I got heavy. I get heavy. Sometimes I get heavy. Listen, guys, once in a while, check into my website, aniavedisian.com. It's not a very exciting website, really, but it has all the information that you want on it. I mean, it doesn't do flashy, bangy things, you know, but anything that you want is on there. I have put my Cosmic Conversations on hold until July this year, because I have far too many other projects that I need to complete. And we've been doing those for about 10 years. So it's nice for everyone, you know, to have their Saturday night, their last Saturday night of the month off. There, go free. Go live the wildling life on Saturdays. Enjoy your lives. You don't have to come to Cosmic Conversations anymore. Other than that, let me just make an announcement. Today is the 29th of January, 2025. This Sunday, which is February the 2nd, and is also Groundhog Day, and is the anniversary of when I became an American citizen. It was on Groundhog Day. I will be speaking at Unity of Roseburg in Oregon. Lovely little church. I'll be there at 10:30, and I will be giving a presentation called How to Overcome Ego Programming. And it's going to be fabulous. I'm an excellent speaker. It's going to be very funny. But also, you know I'm in a church, so don't worry, I won't, you know, go off the deep end. But do come, and then there'll be a show and tell and a question and answer afterwards. So I think as far as things go, my sweethearts, we're almost done for the day. Let me finish my drink, and I'm going to talk about that for a couple of minutes. So when I do finish the drink, it always means the end of the show. So I'll say I hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it, because honestly, I had a blast. Why wouldn't I? I love you all. Sincere thanks to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for kindly arranging the intergalactic distribution of this award-winning show. Mystical Wares is your one-stop shop for all items metaphysical. Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington. Mysticalwares.com. Online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Today's real-life cocktail was a classic from the days of vintage cocktails. Elegant and easy and, well, far too easy to drink too much of. It's called the Ladies' Cocktail, and I found it in a very ancient version of Trader Vic's Bartender. And here's how you make it. You take 1.5 ounces of good warm-toned bourbon. I go with Maker's Mark. 2 dashes of Pernod, three dashes of Anisette, which is an anise liqueur, but it's much drier than you'd think, and 2 dashes of Angostura bitters. So get all that into a shaker with cracked ice and stir. Stir vigorously, but do not shake. And then strain it into a chilled cocktail glass, whatever is your favorite. And then sit back and let the dirt of the day just wash away. Now, it is traditionally dressed, this cocktail, with fresh pineapple. But unless you live in Hawaii, you're not going to get fresh pineapple. The pineapple in your store comes green and then it ferments. So what I recommend is you experiment with things like candied pineapple as a dressing, or a dehydrated pineapple slice that's seasoned with something like hot sauce. You know, learning to blend flavors well comes with experience. And I, for one, have never turned down an opportunity to try a new cocktail or a variation of it. So cheers, my darlings. I am Ani, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was a Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are so grateful. Mwah, 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 mwah. Until we meet again. Winning doesn't mean we can be mean-spirited. Let grace smack you in the face whenever the ego taunts you. And a reminder to everyone, who's your daddy? Trump's your daddy. Trump's your daddy, because he's not a baddie. And hey, martini heads, everything goes better when you're not drunk. And it goes much better when you let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.